Tony Broom Ministries welcomes you for the following Bible teaching session from 1 Peter chapter 1. The title is People of Hope. You and I are people of hope. Faith in Christ and His Word gives us hope to persevere, that is, to keep on keeping on. We have hope in Jesus Christ. He is our eternal hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a glorious future we have to look forward to, the grace that is to be revealed in Jesus Christ. Our eternal hope is things open. Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak when day is done. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the hope that is laid up for us, and the Bible talks about it, rich salvation in Jesus Christ, is a sure salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're talking about a gun-loaded salvation. He has begotten us again. He has born us again unto a lively hope, a living hope. Our hope is not a dead hope. How could there be a hope if it were dead? It's a living hope. A lively hope according to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is our living hope. Resurrection is a hope of power and an act of power. And God is blessed and praised here. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The greatest thing that God has ever done was when He wrought in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 says, the power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, dominion and might, and every name which is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. To an inheritance, incorruptible, Peter tells us. It's an incorruptible inheritance, and it's undefiled. There's no defilement, there's no dirt, there's no decay, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. This is our inheritance. We hear so little about it now because we're so enamored and cumbered about things of this life and in this world. But our inheritance, the best, is yet to come. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has given us a guarantee that we will be raised in power and glory. Those who sleep in the grave will be raised. Those who are alive and remain will be raptured, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. At that time, we will really enjoy our inheritance, our undefiled inheritance, our undisturbed inheritance, our reserved inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. We wonder sometimes why God doesn't do this and why God doesn't do that. Because He's already done everything for us. The best is yet to come. He's given us an inheritance that does not fade away. And we are kept, He says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation, Paul said, is nearer now than when we believed. And we know that we're saved. We know that we're born again. But our salvation is ready to be revealed. The fulfillment, the glory of our salvation is ready to be revealed. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. As I said, the things in this life and the trials that beset us sometimes take away of the joy and the reality of our salvation. You rejoice in Jesus Christ, even though right now it seems like you're surrounded with manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. A little trial right now, a little fire right now, but it'll bring forth gold. Though he try me, yet he will bring me forth, and I will come forth, Job says, as gold. Whom having not seen, you've never seen Jesus, we've never seen him, we've never shaken his hand, we do not see him, yet ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I do not have to see him now. I will see him one day, but I believe, and believing is just as good as seeing. Some people say, I'll never believe it till I see it. No, you'll never see it until you believe it. You got to believe it, and then you'll see it. In whom though now you see him not, yet you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You do not see him, but you believe. And that causes us to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is a grand and glorious salvation, a sure enough salvation, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They didn't really understand. They saw that there would be someone who would come, and he would suffer. He would suffer agony. Isaiah saw it. He would suffer pain and torture. And yet they saw him reigning in power and glory. And the prophets didn't understand. They said, how in the world could one suffer and be humiliated and ill-treated? And yet he would be the one to rise and reign in power and glory. And they found out, Peter said, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The thing is that they could not see was the church age. They saw a suffering servant, and then they saw a reigning king. But they couldn't understand in between the sufferings of Christ and the reigning in glory was the church age, the new covenant, the bride of Christ, you and I, beloved brothers and sisters, who are now in the kingdom of God and who are now in the family of God. We're in the church age, and the prophets could not understand what the church age was all about. And you and I know now that we have a sure salvation. We have a holy calling. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 1, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins of your mind. You got to protect your mind. Proverbs talks about the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Word of God is health to our flesh, is strength to our navel, and health to all of our flesh. And we've got to keep sound wisdom and understanding and keep our minds. The verse here in 1 Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That is more than just absent from alcohol. Be balanced. Don't allow the culture, don't allow the things of this world to dictate the way that we live. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The best is yet to come. The grace of God now brings us salvation, but the grace of God points to our eternal salvation when the culmination of all the things will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, don't live the way you used to live. Don't be the way that you used to be. But as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The way that you talk, the way that you walk, the way that we behave ourselves, our conduct. be holy in our life, because it is written, and quoting from the Old Testament when it says it's written, it's quoting from the Old Covenant, be ye holy, for I am holy. They tried to be holy, but they couldn't be under the law. But we can be holy in the fulfillment of the law. Jesus Christ, the righteousness, the fulfillment of the law. The law is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, as we live on this earth as a Christian. Just a pilgrim passing through, the songs say. So many songs are written about that. We're just passing through this world. This world is not our home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I do not feel at home in this world anymore. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You respect and worship God. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. It's not the way your mother raised you, the way your father raised you, the way that you had in Judaism, or as he speaks to the Gentiles here, the way that you lived in the world. That's not what's important. It's not how much money you have. It's not the silver and the gold. That's not the way that you walk now. But according to the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that is our redemption. That is who redeemed us, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God planned this. He provided this before the foundation of the world. It was preordained, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God had you in mind. And the song said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Praise God. In the portals and annals of time, Christ came down through the ages. He came, sent from the Father, where before the foundation of the world, God had provided a plan for the salvation and healing of every soul and everyone. He was foreordained, and this plan was foreordained before the foundation of the world. But in these last times, he has been manifest, and it has been manifest. The salvation has been manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Remember our title, People of Hope. We're people of hope. And it mentions again the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God raised him from the dead. That's why we can have hope in Christ, who raised him from the dead and gave him to be that hope. The scripture says he's the hope of Christ, the hope in you, the hope of glory. Incorruptible seed. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Jesus said, by all this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Have a sanctified Elvis hunka-hunka burning love, that we love each other in Christ. It's not talking about a sensual or erotic love. It's talking about our souls have been purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unhypocritical love of the brother. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. That's why we can do all this. That's why we have the hope that we have in Christ, because we're born again. Being born again, the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting even asunder, dividing of the spirit and soul, joints and marrow, as a discerner and intents of the heart. That's the word of God. It'll hair-lip the devil. It'll cut you in or cut you out. And it says here that all flesh is as grass. It's quoting from the Old Testament, places like Isaiah chapter 40. All flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The psalm said, man at his best state is altogether vanity. The flower is like rushing up in the morning, springing up, but it fades away in the evening. And it says here, all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Jesus said, the grass is like that which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. But he said, O ye of little faith, if God protects the grass and he takes care of the birds and feeds them, will he not feed you, O ye of little faith? Then in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, just a few verses here, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, laying aside these things, not just when you're born again, but you continually lay aside these things. You continually ask God to sanctify your mind and your heart. He said, as newborn babes, not just one time when you're a baby, when you get saved, but continually, just like newborn babes, even if you're 50 years old in the Lord, even if you're 60 years old in the Lord, you're still desiring that, like a newborn babe, desire the sincere, or some versions say the unadulterated milk of the word. We still need milk. Now, physical babies, they grow up and they eat solid meat, and the scripture tells us that we're to eat solid meat too by doing the word of God. But we still need milk because it helps us to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We're people of hope. Have you tasted the goodness of God? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who trust in him, the scripture tells us. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have you tasted the goodness of God, my friend? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Not just going to church, not just knowing a preacher or shaking a preacher's hand. Do you know Christ? Not just having a relationship with a deacon. Maybe you're a deacon's son. Maybe you're a preacher's son. Doesn't matter about that. What matters is, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Christ of glory who gives you that everlasting and eternal hope? Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Will you open your heart right now to him and allow him to come into your heart and life and be your Savior and Lord? Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to share the teaching of this word from 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this message and lesson to help us to know that we are indeed people of hope. And I pray for those who seem to have no hope today. May the Lord of glory open their heart, just like you did Lydia in the book of Acts. May you open the heart of many people today, and I pray that you'd save that soul as closest to hell. I pray that many would be born again and blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen. People of Hope has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.